Okay, so if you were here last week, you will remember I got you all into groups, and some of you loved it and some of you hated it. Yay! And we were talking about Matthew chapter 11, and tells the story of John the Baptist is in prison. So John, he sends messengers to Jesus. And he sends these messengers to Jesus to ask Jesus a question. And so his question he wants to know is, Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or should I be looking for someone else? And one of the things that we did last week was to actually have a look and ask ourselves some questions, really deep questions, like, who's John the Baptist? Yeah? To ask ourselves questions like, why would Matthew pick John the Baptist? Don't forget, Matthew's got loads of stories he could pick, and he picked this one, and he picked this guy. So he's done that for a reason, because Matthew, who wrote this gospel, he's got an agenda. He's got something he wants to teach you, and you're going to miss it. In fact, we miss a lot of what's in the Bible, because we just gloss over it. Oh, John went to see Jesus, or sent his disciples. That's nice. No, it's significant. So, who is John the Baptist? And we all came up with this understanding that John the Baptist is an extremely significant figure. He is really important because he is the guy who has been heralding the way. There has been a major revival happening because of John the Baptist. Like on the scale that we talk about, where he's seeing loads of people coming out, not into a church, but into the wilderness, into the desert, and he's declaring, and everyone is repenting, everyone is confessing their sins, turning and saying, I want to follow after God, I want God to be my number one, he's going to be my priority. You'd quite like to see that, wouldn't you? Yeah? Sometimes I feel like, anyway, it doesn't matter, don't say it. Okay, so he's a really significant figure, okay? But he kept saying over and over again, he kept saying, I'm just the messenger. I'm not the answer. Someone's coming. I'm here because I'm heralding someone who is coming. And when that person comes, well, then the entire world will change. When that person comes, the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. When that person comes, what will happen is God will presence himself amongst the people. We'll all be different. The world will be different, okay? When that person comes, we'll be saved from everything. So he's a pretty big figure, isn't he? Hey? So this incredibly important figure, and just a thing. He's actually a thing. There'll be lots of things today, if you know, but just a point of interest. He's Jesus's cousin. So they've grown up together. They've known each other. It's possible they've even worked together. So there's a lot of relationships, lots of talking, lots of... This is not John sort of heralding someone he doesn't know or he hasn't met. This is John saying, Jesus, okay? And John stepping into that place and thing. And do you remember that in another one of the stories where he goes and he sees Jesus coming and he points out Jesus to the whole crowd? Look, the saviour of the world, okay? So this is the John the Baptist, hey? So don't just gloss over John the Baptist, no. And this John the Baptist, who was the one who was going, Jesus has to increase, I have to decrease, he's the one. Turns around and sends his closest friends and disciples and goes up to Jesus and goes, seriously, are you the one? Did I get this wrong? Do you not want to like fall off your seat? Like, what's that about? That's the big question that Matthew's hit you with in all of this. If I go down, you can't see me. He's got this thing of like, wow, John the Baptist is asking Jesus if he's got the wrong one. Hello. And are you the one? So, now, said all that, just remember also, we are looking at Matthew's gospel. So Matthew's got an agenda. Matthew's got something that he wants to teach you, okay? He is not giving you this story happened and this story. He's not trying to make sure you know about all the things that happens in Jesus' life. Mm-mm. He's not, I mean, yeah, but no. What he does is he picks stories and he groups them together. He doesn't care whether they're in chronological order. He doesn't care what happened first and last. He does a little bit, but that's not his main thing. His main thing is let me bring together these stories, let me bring together these teachings so that you can see, I need you to hear this. This is what I want to teach you. So your question has to be then with this, is like, all right, Matthew, what are you trying to teach me here? What is it that you are trying to say through this story? And Matthew's agenda is that you and I will know that Jesus, are you able to cope? You can cope, can't you? Yeah? Nobody's that good. So Matthew's agenda is that you will know the Messiah has come. The Saviour of the world has come into the world right now. And church, do you know what? You go that way. Because you are very determined. And if you sneak up behind, they never know. Well done. Are you impressed? Right now on the tape, everyone's going, darn, I wish it was on the internet so I could see that, because it's kind of cute. Anyway, what was I talking about? Agendas. What is it that Matthew is trying to teach you right now, okay, with this story? What he's trying to teach you is that the Messiah has come into the world, and the reason why I need you to hear that is because right now, church, I think quite a few people are thinking, oh dear God, Jesus, can you come back and get me out of here? People are starting to say, is there any hope for the world? Am I the only one who's hearing this? You're all looking like, no, it's not fazing me. I mean, who needs to worry about American politics or Russia? Or, yeah? Okay, there's a whole lot of insecurity, okay? How many of you appreciated the fact that North Korea showed us and did a massive military parade with all of their missiles? Did that fill you with joy and confidence? All right, okay. How many of you are actually thinking that maybe it is actually and should be a good idea to build a wall around South Australia and not let any of the states in? Let them keep their wretched COVID. If you listen and to what people are saying, it's almost like the whole world is crying out saying, the Messiah needs to come. Someone needs to step in and save us. Church, don't be fooled. Jesus Christ has already stepped into our world. He has already saved us. This is not going to faze him in the slightest. You believe the Messiah has come. You are saved. So somewhere in your theology, in your headspace and in everything else, you've got to start getting what this idea that Matthew is trying to teach us right now. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour they're looking for, the hope for the world that you're wanting right now, the things that are actually distractions to that, this Saviour, the Messiah, he's already come. What are you looking for? Jesus Christ is your answer and he's already done it. Is resurrection not enough? Yeah. I mean, we've got to change this thing, and that's the thing that Matthew's saying. He's saying to us, church, the Messiah's come. And the Messiah has brought the kingdom of God to us right now. Except there's a bit of a problem. Because the Messiah has brought the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not fully here yet, is it? So we've got these other things that are happening and have an influence. But the kingdom of God is here. And either Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or he's not. Yep. And you're going to have to start making your minds up if you want to get through this season. You're going to have to decide who your God is. Okay? So that's just me wanting to say, come on, church, start praying. The kingdom of God, Saviour's already come. So start asking for the Lord. And do you think the Lord's not working in our world? Of course he is. So anyway, that's Matthew's agenda, and it's mine as well. To specifically teach, the Messiah has come. But here's John saying, are you sure? Is this what the Saviour of the world looks like? So, let's look at what Jesus answers. Jesus says, so John says, are you the one? And this is Jesus' answer. And if you were John, tell me if you would like this answer. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. What do you think about that as an answer? I also thought, can you not say yes or no? Can you not answer John's question? Does it feel a bit cryptic to you? Yeah, well, no, that's true, actually. Do you expect anything else for Jesus? No, not really. I mean, give Jesus some wisdom here, okay? John's in prison because King Herod will kill anyone, and has already proved it. He's murdered whole entire sections of his family, wives, kids, because he doesn't want another king. Jesus is not going to stand up and say, hey, I'm the king of Israel, because, you know, that's going to be, his head will be the next one on the chopping block kind of thing. But there is this kind of strange answer. And so what we need to do is sort of think, well, Lord, how did that answer John's question? What is it that John is asking you? If this is the answer, and this is going to make John feel better, and he's going to answer his question, what question was John asking? Like, why does this answer it? Can you see that? Was that a bit convoluted? Okay. Stay with me. Okay. And basically what John was saying when he brought this question, are you the one? It's because he looked at Jesus and he looked at what Jesus was doing. And he looked at Jesus' ministry and he said, I didn't think it would look like that. I thought that when God came to the earth, it would look different. You're doing it differently, Jesus. You're doing it wrong. You're not fulfilling my expectations. Lord, I know exactly what revival should look like. When the kingdom of God hits in and God steps into our world, I've got it pictured in my brain. What you're doing, that ain't it. Okay, that's a little bit of like Julie version. But you can hear what I'm saying. There's like this difference here, isn't there? So that's where, and that's why Matthew's brought it. That's where you're supposed to be asking the question of like, ooh, what's different? What is that? How does this work? What's this about? And so let's have a look. So what did John expect? Well, John was expecting... Do you know much about John the Baptist? I mean, his whole thing was, repent, you bunch of sinners, you know, turn around. He was zealous. He was passionate. He had one message. He was more the type of guy, and what he expected was more in the lines of Elijah. In fact, Jesus in this passage just say, John is Elijah. He doesn't quite say it quite as clearly, but that's what he's saying. John is Elijah. Okay. So John's going, yes, because that's what the kingdom of God looks like. Someone like Elijah steps in. And do you know the story of Elijah?
Yep.
So the idea is you've got those who are for God and those who are like against God. And the prophet rises up with the kingdom of God and he goes, this is God's way. And God's answer is to send fire from heaven. And you slaughtered all the ones who aren't for the kingdom of God. And what you're left with is people who are pure-hearted, wholly devoted to God, okay? That's John's picture of the kingdom of God coming. Fire from heaven, repentance, people turning from their sins. Jesus actually does in Matthew's gospel, Matthew, Matthew does once, right back in Matthew 4, say, Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is near. But what he did was to do, he said that because he wanted you to understand, John said it, and now Jesus is continuing the message. Okay, but he doesn't actually use that phrase again, okay? Because what he wants to do is show what Jesus sees as the bringing the kingdom of God, bringing salvation to you and I, to our community. What he wants to do is paint that picture for you. And he wants to show how this is moving into this new mission. Continuation of John's, but a different way of outworking it. And for Jesus, Jesus's mission, and even this scripture here, excuse me, it's more in line with Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 35, if you want to go ahead and read that at some point. In there, they've got this picture here, Isaiah in Isaiah 35, he's got this picture of a highway of holiness, and there's this picture of the Lord rescuing the people and saving us, and everlasting joy will be upon their heads, yeah? And this like real, so that picture. And I actually got this quote from Tom Wright, so I just want to make sure you know this was him who said this. And it's to John, and maybe even to us, it feels like Jesus has actually jumped one part ahead in the storyline. And so Jesus is actually one jump ahead of where John thinks he should be. But the mercy that Jesus is giving to people, which in John's eyes should come after the judgment, the healing that comes after your time of sorrow and repentance, it's breaking in now. So Jesus is bringing a message of mercy and forgiveness and healing and everything. But the problem is that all of the stuff that you read in Isaiah, they're the things that we associate with it being when we go to heaven, yeah? When the end of the kingdom. And what Jesus does is actually bring all that fullness of the kingdom, the end of time stuff, all of that blessing, all of that everlasting joy of the people of God as they go up to Zion, he starts bringing it to people now. In a place where they are right now. And John's going, hang on a minute. You missed a step, Lord. You missed a step where you had to judge people for their sins. And you haven't. You haven't done it right. You should be continuing my message. And then we'll do the Isaiah stuff. And I'm all for that. But you're doing it now. Lord, did you get it wrong? Am I supposed to wait? Are we needing to wait for the person who's going to come? And do the in-between bit? Is there someone else? Because you've missed a step. You've jumped a step. Okay? But according to Jesus and to Matthew, actually, it's the main task of the Messiah to bring the fullness of the kingdom of God to us right now. So we've got this picture that Matthew is painting where Jesus is showing us that the kingdom of God that Jesus is ushering in is nothing like what we expect. Okay, John expected judgment of sinners for their legitimate sins, and Jesus shows mercy and acceptance of sinners. What are we going to do with that? And to make the point, what he does is, in that chapter, he goes on, after you've got, so John asks the question, Jesus answers, and then the next bit you've got is Jesus talking. He does this like, and Matthew uses it as like a comparison thing, okay? And so Matthew's got this idea of opposites playing. So he's got the kids, and Jesus says, you're like a bunch of kids. Play a happy song and a celebration song and a wedding feast song, which is the end of time wedding feast, and say, come and dance. And you go, no. And he said, or John brings a message that's like a dirge and funeral and sadness and sorrow and says, come and repent for your sins and your wrong choices. And you say, no. But what he's also doing, so basically Jesus says, it doesn't really matter how the message comes, you don't want to do it, do you? But there's still hope for us. Because it's never been based in us. It's always been based in the faithfulness of God to draw his people up along that highway of holiness. So there is hope for us. But what we've got is this comparison. John's way, Jesus' way. And they do this. And so that's the next part that he brings in. And again, it points this thing of a kingdom of God that Jesus is starting was nothing like John had pictured. And it points to a difference in the way the song is being played. It talks to a difference in script. There's this difference here. So, lots of so's this week. What did you think the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven? What does it look like right now? In Christie's Beach, what did you picture it as looking like? Did you have a bit? Do you even think about this? Like, what does it look like for the community to come to know Jesus Christ? Did you have a picture of what that would look like? Don't want to answer, do we? Okay, have we got a picture? And so the question is, did it look like what Jesus bought? Is it in line with the message that Jesus brought? Or is it more in line with the message that John brought? I don't know about you. I got saved under John's message. You know, you're going to hell. Anyone else going to hell? Well, you're not anymore, are you? Phew! Thank God someone preached that gospel to me. I can preach as well, actually. Do you want me to? So I do hellfire and brimstone. No, I can't actually anymore. A lot of our message has been this one, hasn't it? Hey? This message that Jesus brings of mercy, that message, we don't really know how to preach it, do we? Do we know how to preach mercy and acceptance? I got asked a lot of stuff last week. So, hang on, I just need to breathe. Okay. Last week I got asked, are we supposed to be modelling ourselves on John's message or Jesus' message? Are you saying to me, Julie, that we don't preach John's message of repentance? Oh, wouldn't it be lovely if the world was that black and white? But it's a good question, though, isn't it? Hey? What are you modelling yourselves on? Because, like I say, Jesus' message that he brought was this one of mercy. So, you know, which one? And like I said, for me personally, and I think for a lot of us for a long time, we've been way more comfortable with John's way of ushering in the kingdom of God. Would you agree with that? Or am I being a bit... do you know... I can do that one. Repent of your sins. I can do that one. I've got the wording.
So does everybody with a placard standing
there? Rossi loves the ones with the placards, don't you? They're your favourite people. Yeah. So, This one, where end times is the message that you're giving to people right now. I don't know if I know how to preach that. So I'm trying to work it out. John's proclaiming judgment and repentance. Jesus is actually giving us a ministry, a message, sorry, that's about the mercy and the blessings that come after judgment. And the reason we have such a problem, because if I say to you, should you model yourself on John or Jesus, you're all going to, please say Jesus, you're all going to say
Jesus.
You're all going to say
Jesus.
Thank you, because we're all nice Christians, but you don't believe it, do you? Because you don't even believe what I'm telling you. You're not even sure this is true. It is, but it just messes a bit with our brain, doesn't it? So what do we do? And the problem that we've got with it is because just as wicked people, again, this was Tom Wright who said this, just as wicked people don't like the message of judgment because they think rightly that it's aimed at them, so sometimes good people don't like the message of mercy because they think wrongly that people are going to get away with wickedness. Church, we don't like the message of mercy. We don't like speaking out the ministry, the blessings, the healing, the acceptance, the inclusion, because we are really scared of the slippery slope, aren't we? Well, if you are one sin in, what about all the others? You know? If we act this and maybe we'll... Yeah? Do you not know slippery slope? Do you not feel that? Oh, dear, your hard work today. I'll just sit here while you think about it. You're going to have to think about this, church. This is a really big deal because it is the question we are asking as a church right now. This is called liminal space. You all know what that is. Betwixt and between, okay? So I'm not saying to you that we have answers. What I'm doing is saying to you, the thing you thought is definitely not right. I just don't know what the thing is that is right yet. Okay? So we've got to come into a really uncomfortable space where we go, I don't know. I don't have the answers. Okay? So how do we deal? Because this is a question that I'm being asked quite frequently from us. You're asking me, you're asking Daniels if we've got answers. How do we deal with judgment of sin and mercy of God? How do we model ourselves after Jesus' message without it saying like we're saying, well, you don't have to repent of your sins? How do we do this? Tell me that's the question. Have I articulated that question right? Is that the question you're asking? It's a question that keeps coming up. Are you asking me this question or not? Because I might as well, you know, if you're not, then sorry. Isn't that the thing? If you give mercy, well, where's the accountability for sin? Are you asking me this question or not? I'm telling you, you are. Because people come in. We have so many people who are in this church who are sinners. What are you going to do with them? How are you going to talk to them? What are you going to do about this? That's the question we're asking. And so it is a really...
We just wait longer until we tell them. That's all.
Do you know what? I think he's right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Another moment. So Daniel said that what he thinks is we now just wait a little bit longer before we tell them that they're sinners and what they need to repent of. So it's not that actually we've changed our message at all. We're just waiting a bit before we say it. What is that the answer? Or is that just delaying still John's thing? Oh, thanks. I told you it won't stay. All right. What about judgment? Is that what Matthew's saying? Don't have to worry about judgment. Don't have to worry about repentance. Doesn't have to. No. But again, it is where it gets interesting. Because do you remember I said Matthew is telling you the kingdom's come. But it hasn't quite come yet. Okay. And part of that, so at the end of Matthew's gospel, he lumps together a whole load of chapters. And he talks about the judgment that is to come. Okay. This middle space, if you like. Or maybe it's the end space. I don't know. I can't. God's way of doing things isn't how I would chronologically sort it. But what Matthew's saying is, at the very end of time, the judgment comes. Did you know that? Do we preach on it much? End of time, Jesus Christ returns, okay? And everyone will see him, and absolutely every single knee will bow before Jesus Christ. There won't be any questions of whether he is God or not. Everyone will know, okay? And then there will be the raising of the dead, and he will judge the living and the dead, yeah? And then his kingdom will have no end. But in that space, Jesus Christ comes and he judges the living and the dead. And each one of us then is accountable for our sins. And there's no escaping it. You are going to have to stand. I am going to have to stand before the Lord, and he is going to make account, and I'm not going to be able to argue with him. I'm going to know in my own heart when he says it. I'm just going to be like, yeah, I've got no defense for that. And so we, all of us, every single one of us, will do that. And that actually, I think that should put the fear of God into us. I don't know that it does enough, actually. But, you know, this kind of this idea, and don't get sidetracked, otherwise we'll never finish. Everyone be judged, there's no escaping it. So that is going to come. But here in Matthew 11, he's sort of saying that thing of, yeah, but right now the message that Jesus is bringing is that the mercy of God triumphs over justice, over judgment. Sorry, say that again. The mercy of God triumphs over judgment. I don't know how to preach a message of mercy. I don't know how to go to people in mercy. I don't think I do. I'm trying to learn it. But I think, like Daniel said, there's that tendency, isn't there, to just, I'm not going in mercy, I'm just delaying the time that I can actually address an issue. So this question then of, what does it mean that Jesus has brought this kingdom of mercy? How do you preach that? How do you bring that to people? You live it. And that is actually what Matthew's saying here. In fact, there's a huge chunk. He puts a whole load of chapters together and he's like, you lot, you're the personification of the kingdom of God. You embody it. You characterize it. And because you're doing it, because you are it, because you're living the kingdom of God, the people around you are going to look and go, what's different about you? Well, in a good way. What's different about you? Because you're living it. I've got two questions for you. Mercy was at the heart of Jesus' messianic mission. Therefore, it has to remain at the heart of the church's work today. That's the script that Jesus has set. That's the way we've got to go. Okay, church, so give me the script for mercy. What does that look like? How do we do that? What sort of words? What sort of ways of attitude? What do we do? Okay. What is the script for mercy? What do we know about the script so far? And the other thing to ask is, what about wickedness? What do we do about sin and the judgment of sin? Do we just, that's the thing, are we saying we're just going to leave it to God? Is there a place for conviction of sin, for the church to hold each other accountable for sins? What are we saying? If we don't find out these answers, we're going to continue bringing the message. And the thing is, church, the kingdom of God did not come because John the Baptist preached a message of repentance. The kingdom of God came because Jesus Christ came with the mercy of God, and because the people who followed Jesus embodied it. That's how the kingdom of God comes. And it is right now. That is the thing I'm dealing with. And that's the thing. When Daniel said we are dealing and having people come into the community, that's the thing we're having to look at. How the do we do? I haven't got the right word. Blazes. Do we do this? How do we do this? Because I tell you now, I am not going to do this thing where I just delay it, you know, telling people about their sins. That is not the answer, okay? And I don't want you sitting there having the expectation that it's okay, because at some point Julie will tell them they're a bunch of rotten sinners. And just so you know, one last thing to think about. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. Have you ever thought about friend? What it is to be friend to someone? I'll tell you what, certainly changes your language towards them. Shall I pray? Lord God, we love you, but we have to let you know, Father, right now we don't know the answers. And we can see the things that you're beginning to bring to us, but Father, we do not know, Lord, how to live. You are asking us to embody this, and we're going, Lord, we don't even know the script. You're saying to us, follow in the same mission, messianic mission of bringing the kingdom of God that Jesus had, and we're saying, I don't know what completely that looks like. And so, Lord, what we're asking is that in this space, you would come. And we're not asking, Lord God, to be black and white people. We realize this is going to be a mixture and there's going to be a way forward. But there is a way forward because, Jesus, you've already done it. We just need to follow you, Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, teach us and help us to talk to one another about this stuff, we pray. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.